The second Sunday in ordinary time. That is what we celebrate today. Ordinary time. And after the several weeks of Advent and Christmas, and just before the longer period of Lent and Easter, we have this chunk of time that we call ordinary. Why? Is it just that besides Christmas and Easter, the rest of the year is so plain? We don't really have a great name, so let's just call it ordinary. Not quite. You see, when the church uses that word, ordinary, doesn't mean it in the sense of plain or nothing special or not exciting. We're thinking of the real root of that word, order. Order in both the sense of being structured and ordered, and in the sense of giving directions. The book that we use for Mass, called the Missal, has a section that's called the Ordinary of the Mass. It refers to all the stuff that we do at every Mass. It's the basic structure, the outline that keeps things organized and flowing well, in order. And it is the same with ordinary time. Now that we have remembered the beginning with Christ's incarnation and Christmas, we move into this overall structure of our faith, the day-to-day of the Christian vocation. And so now the readings of ordinary time will take us in order through the gospel to show us Christ's life. They're designed to give us a sense of what it means to gradually progress in our faith and understanding who Christ is and why that matters. It's one of the reasons we use the color green, symbolic for growth, like a plant. And so today, being the second Sunday in ordinary time, although there really is no first, being the second ordinary Sunday in ordinary time, we have the John the Baptist announcing his discovery of Jesus as the Son of God. I did not know him. Twice, John the Baptist makes this statement about his personal lack of awareness of who Jesus was. And it's a little odd, considering that he is related to Jesus. We can also remember that as an infant, or rather a child in the womb, John leapt in his mother's womb when Mary visited Elizabeth. So how does John not know who Jesus is? And why does he tell us that twice? As with most passages of Scripture, there's both a practical and a deeper spiritual way to interpret it. And the practical reason for John's ignorance is that he grew up in the desert, basically as a hermit. He probably hadn't seen Jesus in decades, if he saw him at all. So he wouldn't be able to recognize him on sight. And the reason he made a point to tell us that is to avoid any appearance of nepotism, someone who could say, oh, that's your cousin. He's reminding people that he has simply been following the divine command, that he did not plan to set up his own cousin as the Messiah. Only God revealed it to him. The only way that John the Baptist knows who Jesus is because God chose to reveal him. And the spiritual reason for including this detail is tied to those practical reasons. John the Baptist is a model for a Christian discipleship. Not that we all have to go live in the desert and live on locusts and honey, but in his example of following God's commands, of looking for the Messiah, of announcing him to the world once he was found. There is an order, a progression to the faith that John the Baptist is showing us here. John's own faith, like ours, starts with some form of ignorance. I did not know him. More importantly, it was an ignorance that was searching, was open to learning the truth and ceasing to be ignorance. John the Baptist knew the Messiah was coming, but he had to learn that that Messiah was actually closer than he thought. He was already family. Often our own ignorance of the Lord blinds us to the ways that he is already close to us, to the ways that God is present in friends and family, co-workers and others whom we can serve and love as the Lord. John the Baptist spent his life listening to God in the desert, coming to know him better, finding ways to discover more about this relationship with the Lord. I did not know him. Even as Christians, we can say this in some way, because how many of us and in the world have a false idea of who Jesus is? How often are we too complacent, too comfortable with what we've already learned? Is our relationship with Jesus Christ an ongoing friendship, or is it more like a fond memory of a friend? John the Baptist was also obedient. Though ignorant of details, and probably irritated by that at times, he did what God asked of him. He obeyed the command given before his birth that he would abstain from all alcohol. He lived an austere life and prayed constantly. So when the Lord sent him preaching to anyone and everyone to baptize them for repentance, he obeyed. He was not told how long it would take for the Messiah to show up once he started preaching. And we know that John the Baptist was well known enough by the time Jesus came that he had made it into the history books. So it must have taken some time. Do you think he got impatient? Do you think he wondered if he had made a mistake? So it may be with your own vocation. Discerning God's will can take a little time. Living out God's will in marriage, priesthood, religious life can take even more time. But for Christians, perseverance is the name of the game. So John the Baptist persevered in his vocation, and it finally happened. Jesus Christ came to him for baptism, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, revealing who he was. John's searching and obedience were rewarded with this greater knowledge, with this privileged moment of experiencing the Lord. But his mission did not end there. No, it only began a new stage of proclaiming him more directly. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Even now, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, is the shadow of the cross, that Jesus is the Paschal Lamb, a sacrifice that saves from sins. And John himself does not stop preaching, does not end his vocation until he completes it with his death at the hands of Herod. And what of you and of me? Have we honestly admitted to ourselves that we do not know Jesus fully as we could? Do you search for him? Make time for silent prayer, for listening to the will of God. If you want to find the Lord or to discover more deeply your vocation, begin with obedience to what God has already shown you in the teachings of the church and in your own particular circumstances. And when you do have this epiphany, this deeper grasp of your Savior, your faith, your vocation, do you share that with others? Do you proclaim the Jesus who saves from sins? The Jesus who dies on the cross for us, who loves us eternally? Or do we settle for the false Jesus of self-affirmation, of simply being nice? The ordinary demands of the Christian life can be difficult, or perhaps just boring, but they bring genuine growth, just as watching a cane field grow will be boring, but the growth comes. And ultimately, it is this growth, this ordinary growth, that brings true joy. And so as we move into the rhythm of ordinary time, resolve to enter more deeply into your own vocation as a student, as single and discerning, as married, as widowed. John the Baptist lived out his vocation as a priest and died defending the dignity of marriage. So when he says, "I testify that he is the Son of God," he's not talking about his words, but his life and his loyalty to the vocations that God has given. His mission does not boil down to a few key moments and major decisions, but includes all the ordinary and daily decisions to keep living what the Lord asks of him. And so it should be with us.